Let's go to John chapter 9. You know, the days that we live in currently now aren't really any different than any time in history. You know, people have always had challenges, no matter where they've lived, no matter what country they've lived in, no matter who their government is, they've always had challenges. Everybody has the challenges of life in this world. But even in light of all of that, God's word is always true. No matter what goes on around you, no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what is happening in your neighborhood, no matter what is happening in your state, your country, in the world, God's word is always true. It's always true. And there's a record here in chapter 9 that I wanted to look at again. We looked at it a few weeks ago, but I wanted to return to it and take a look at this and some other things, because it's a great record in light of our attitude and who we are because of the example that Jesus Christ set. And it says in chapter 9, verse 1, "As he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master," or Rabbi, "who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" See, now Jesus was just going with his disciples, doing what he did day by day, seeking occasion to preach the word of God and to make God's word alive for people. Because that's what he was sent to do. He was sent to make known the Father's will. He was sent to make sure that people knew that God desired for them to be blessed, to be whole in every way, and to live life more than abundantly. Like he said in John 10:10, right? "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," as opposed to the thief who comes to ruin your life, referring to figuratively the adversary and his kingdom. You know, Jesus Christ said, "Nah, you know, the adversary may want to steal and kill and destroy, but I am come that you can have life and you can have it more abundantly." That is God's desire for us, that Jesus Christ made plain and made known. And here, he passes by this area where there's a man born blind. And nowhere in the Old Testament scripture does it speak of anything like this as him doing, as the Messiah being able to do. But Jesus Christ knew that nothing was impossible with God. Nowhere in the Bible would he ever read of anyone being born blind being healed, except for right here. And it says his disciples asked him, curiously enough, about sin. You know, who did sin? This man or his parents? Now, of course, you know, when you really think about that question, it's so typical of the day in which they lived and the theology that was being promoted back then by the Pharisees. The Pharisees had always taught that sin would manifest itself in some sickness or disease or something in your life. There would always be a consequence. And most people, because they were sick because they sinned or because they did something wrong. That's what they were taught. And so that was the question. But they didn't go very far in their thinking, because they asked the question of, you know, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, did he sin? Did he kick his mommy too hard in the womb, and therefore he was born blind? I don't think so. See, it's not really a thinking question. It's a responsive question. It's based on what they had been taught without any thinking. You know, and how many times do you hear Christians today just blurt out something that makes no sense whatsoever? Because they've been conditioned to say it. You know, well, you're just going through that because God wants you to know something. God wants you to learn something. You can go to that guy and say, "You have cancer," because God wants you to learn something here. No. That, see how many people would say that? Not Greg, though. Greg wouldn't say that. Because Greg knows. And Greg thinks. And anytime you start to think about some of the things that people say, you begin to line them up with just plain logic, you see how stupid it is. But when we come to the Word of God, things become very plain and very simple to understand and very simple to believe. And Jesus answered them very pointedly, very directly. And he said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, now, some people read that and say, well, see, God made him blind so that some, you know, years later, Jesus Christ could come along and heal him. No, that's not the meaning either. If you continue in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. You know, that the works of God in verse 3 should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. If you don't want the period there, you don't have to have it, because in the originals, they didn't have any punctuation. The thought continues with, I must work the works of him that sent me. You know, that is really the reason that they're there, is for Jesus Christ to bring deliverance to the man. It wasn't this man's sin, it wasn't his parents' sin, but I'm going to make sure that he's delivered. God had nothing to do with him being born blind, but God and his son Jesus Christ are going to be the whole reason for his deliverance. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. You know, while it is day. And Jesus Christ used that figure of speech many times. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. You know, it adds a sense of urgency to life. You know? It adds a sense of urgency, because not always is it going to be day. Not always will you have a chance to work and work for God. Jesus Christ, his whole attitude, his whole focus was to do for God what God wanted him to do. Right? And then he says in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, what? I am the light of the world. And that is a tremendous attitude. You know, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know, Philippians speaks of us as being lights of the world as we hold forth the word of life. We are lights. You know, is that our attitude? Is that, do we have the same kind of attitude that Jesus Christ had? He said that he that believes on me, the works that I do, the same and greater shall he do. You know, do you believe on Jesus Christ? Then the same works he did and greater you can do. It just depends on your attitude. You know, Jesus Christ could have said, well, you know, we'll wait till tomorrow to heal him. No. He realized that now is the time. Now is the time to preach the word. Now is the time to put it out there. Now is the time to make sure that people know what the will of God is. It's not the time to answer, you know, theological questions. It's the time to do with the power of God. And then there's no question. You know? Jesus Christ wasn't ready to get in a theological debate. He was ready to manifest the power of God for this man. And we can do the same thing if our attitude is the same as his. Wherever we go, we're lights of the world. You're a light of the world. Wherever you go, no more darkness, because you're there. If you believe who you are and who God has called you to be and who God has made you. Not who you make yourself, but who God has made you. It says we're sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We can do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. And that's God's desire. Is that not anyone's desire? To see the power of God real? Everyone dreams of it. Everyone wishes for it. Everyone hopes for it. Oh, I just wish that this stuff were true. Well, it is true. We see it day by day. We see people healed when we proclaim what's available. And when we move ahead with this kind of attitude, I'm a light in the world. I am a light. Wherever I am, there's light, baby. We just believe it. And when the opportunity presents itself, we do the same thing that Jesus Christ did. We're not concerned about why the man is blind. We're concerned with the reality of God's will and God's desire to make the guy's eyes opened. Heal, deliver, You know, most people don't believe this. Most people think that it's just a certain few that walk this way. Well, that's only because that's all they've been taught. But it's available for each and every born-again believer to walk with this kind of confidence and this kind of power. We all have it. As long as we have that attitude, a sense of urgency. If I don't proclaim that healing's available for this person, then who will? Jesus Christ didn't stop and say, well, you know, maybe someone else, maybe you guys can come back and heal this guy after you're there. No, he said now is the time. I got to do it now because it's day. And when he had thus spoken, verse 6 says, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which being by interpretation it means sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came what?
Seeing.
You know, that's very simple. You know, Jesus Christ, and it's interesting, I knew there was something, you know, to this thing about him spitting, you know, making clay, more than just God telling him to do this. You know, of course, you know, he always did what God instructed him to do. But there was a reason why he did this. And I looked up some resources that I had and was reminded that the rabbis of the time, the Pharisees and all these guys, all the religious leaders of the time, it was a common belief among them that saliva had some kind of healing effect for the diseases of the eye and other things. That they just believed that. You know, it came to be a belief. Was it scriptural? No. Was it something that they acknowledged and believed? Yes. Now, what Jesus Christ did was not just happenstance and not just, you know, oh, I feel like doing this. This blind man was expecting something like that. And so he did it for him. There was another record where he does the same thing, similar thing, where he heals a man who's deaf and has a speech impediment. He does the same thing, similar thing. But all of it is geared towards building confidence, building believing in this man. You know, that this man would believe. You know, did he have to send him to the pool of Siloam? No. But as every step that man took with this clay on his eyes, he was believing. I'm going to be seeing. Not long. I'm going to have my sight back. Every step he took. And when he finally got there and did what Jesus Christ told him to do, he came seeing. He could see. You know, did Jesus Christ have to do that? No, he didn't have to do it. He could have simply said, eyes be open. He did it. He's done it before. He did it with the man with the withered arm. He said, stand up. Now, stretch forth your hand. And the man stretched it out. Just simply by his word, people were healed and delivered. Devil spirits were cast out. It's just a tremendous record. You see, he endeavored to make sure that this man was believing. And that people would see that he wasn't just like any other. That when he did things, he had results. You know, they had been doing similar things among the rabbis, among the Pharisees, with no results. But when he did it, there was results. There was great results. Whenever Jesus Christ did anything, there were great results. And it's the same thing when we do this with the same attitude, when we have that same attitude that we're lights in the world, that we can do, we can help people, we can deliver people. Nothing is impossible with God because of what His Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished for us. Nothing. wasn't impossible for him. You know, when we get that attitude and that mindset that we are who God says we are, that we're not who we feel like, we're not just children of our mommy and daddy, we're children of the Most High God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And as He is, so are we in this world. And we can do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. It's when we begin to move with that kind of attitude that we really begin to see great things. Because all God is looking for is our believing. Do we have confidence in Him and what He has said? Back in John chapter 6, there's another great record about things that just are, it's like more than just miraculous, if there could be such a thing. It's just, you know, beyond what the mind can conceive can really happen. And yet, it's available to do. In chapter 6 of John, you'll remember this record, I'm sure. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles. They saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. They saw him healing people that were diseased. They saw this, so they followed him. You know, it's the signs, miracles, and wonders that follow those that believe, that show people that God is indeed alive and working. Where there are no miracles, the Word of God is dead. It's not alive. And the only time there's never a miracle is because there is no faith, no believing. But where and when there's faith, where and when there's believing, there will be signs and miracles. Not only healing, but little things too. See? But they saw, so they followed. They saw the great miracles that he did. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast of Jews was nigh. And when he lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Interesting. He said he wanted to see where Philip was at. You know? "Philip, what do you think? Is there anywhere we can go to buy some food for these guys?" And Philip said, "Well, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them they may take a little." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "Well, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" There's a multitude here. This can't possibly be enough to feed them. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. About 5,000 people. Now, that's quite a lot of people to feed with just 200 pennies worth of bread and 5 barley loaves and 2 fish that the lad had. You know, and it's interesting when you think about this, it doesn't say this anywhere else. It just says it here in this gospel, that there's this boy there that has this food. He's got some dried salted fish, and he's got, you know, these barley loaves, 5 barley loaves. You know, many times it looks as though your resources can never supply the need of the people that are before you. And yet Jesus Christ knew differently. He knew differently. He knew that God would supply. That God would do whatever he had to do to make sure that people knew that he was God and was able to supply their need. So he took them, and he just didn't take this food from the boy. I mean, I just can't see Jesus Christ saying, "Give me that." I can't see him doing that. That would be so unlike our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nowhere ever did he ever make anyone do anything. And this is a tremendous thing here, because this lad, this young boy, who had the barley loaves and the fish, voluntarily gave it to him. Here, sure, you can have mine. You can have mine. Now, some people say that he was just there along with the disciples carrying their food. And nowhere else does it speak of that. They didn't have a little boy following them around carrying a bag of food. They carried their own food. But the boy was willing to give. And that's a tremendous thing. Even though it does not look like they have the physical resources to supply this need, they're moving ahead anyway. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. The disciples to them that sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments. How much leftovers? You better get all the leftovers. You know, they did exactly as he said. Therefore they gathered unto them and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And those men, when they had seen what? The miracles. When they had seen the miracles, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come in the world. Yeah. It's a phenomenal miracle. But what does it point to? It points toward God's ability and God's resource to supply whatever the need is. Whatever you need to do what is set before you to do, it will be there. You know, if God puts in front of you a person who needs to be healed, you may not have the resources among your own 5 senses to heal this individual, but you do when you look to God. You will have what you need to supply and see that miracle come to pass. It's about looking to God and looking only to Him to supply what's necessary for the need, for the time. You know, we look at our own resources all the time. Jesus Christ never looked at His own resources. He had nothing. But He had everything, because He had the power of God. And He had all the resources of God as His Heavenly Father. And that's how we should look at things. That's how we look at our lives. If we want to see the power of God live in us and about us, then we're to have this kind of attitude. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't worried about it. It doesn't say He was fretful, saying, uh-oh. You know, how are we going to do this? I don't know. I don't know, Philip. Andrew, I don't know. Simon? How are we supposed to do this? He didn't freak out. He knew God would do it. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 6. You know, we have to have this attitude that we are who God says we are. And that, you know, while it's day, it's time to work for Him. You know, while it's daytime, meaning while we have life, breath, and strength, we move to live our lives to do some of this fun stuff. You know? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what Jesus Christ said to His disciples. Go ahead. Do it. You see what I'm doing? This is what you can do too. Go ahead. Most people look at that these days and say, that's impossible. That's not what Christianity is. Well, what do you mean that's not what Christianity is? That's not what Christianity is today. Because Christianity today has developed the same things that the Pharisees had back in the first century. They've said supposed truth that has nothing to do with the Bible. Just like the Pharisees with the saliva. It has nothing to do with saliva. It has everything to do with faith in the power of God. You know, today, you and I have the same resources that Jesus Christ had available to him. We have the same promises. And we look at it and we stumble around and we doubt and we fear. Jesus Christ was never afraid. He never doubted. Who? Himself? No, he never doubted God. And if you never doubt God, then you'll be blessed. Right? He that says unto this mountain, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus Christ's whole life was about giving. And he proved that it worked. That young lad that was with him that day, you know, I'm sure was astounded. Just like all the rest of them. Astounded. Give of what you have. God will bring it back to you. You know, that's an attitude. You know, as long as we're talking about attitudes, that's a great attitude to have. You know, I will give of what I have to try and bless because I know that God will bring it back to me. Sometimes you don't have anything to give, or at least it may seem that way. It may seem like you don't have any resources to give. I don't have anything to give. Well, yes, you do. Yes, you always have something you can give. If you have an attitude that I am the light of the world, wherever I go, I'm a light. Then I got plenty to give.
That guy at the temple gate, you know?
Yeah.
Such as I have, give I
thee. Right. Power. You have the power of God Almighty within you. You can do the works that Jesus Christ did. You read down and you see a great encouragement here in verse 46. It says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Uh-oh. You know, Jesus Christ said, go, heal, deliver, preach the word. Tell people the kingdom of God is nigh. Tell them it's right here and there, right in front of them. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. You know, you go do it. You give of what you have. Don't walk by the senses. And then he said, you know, I mean, why do you say, Lord, Lord? Why do you say, I'm your Lord, and you don't do what I say to do? Why? I mean, you know, if every Christian church in the country read this verse today, you know, I mean, and really honestly looked at just that one verse, and it's in red letters if you have one of those red letter editions. It's in red, so it must mean the Lord said it. So there would be no confusion there. Oops. And do not the things which I say. Whoa, whoops. Holy mackerel. You know, remember some of the things Jesus Christ said. Remember, you know, he said, hey, come on. Believe. Believe God. Come on, this is fun. And then he explains it a little bit. He says, whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now here's the doer of the word, not just the hearer. Here's the guy who hears what I say, sees what I do, and endeavors to do the same thing. He is like a man who builds his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream or the floodwaters, the torrents, beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, that's when we believe what Jesus Christ said and walk in what he said and endeavor to do what he has encouraged us to do. Sure, sure, the storms of life will blow. Yeah, the floodwaters will rise. But our house will remain. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, that without a foundation he built an house upon the earth, against which the stream or the floodwaters did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, you can't stand without, you can't be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and not do the works that he did. At least try. You know? But, and it's not hard. It's not real hard at all. You know, the only thing that's hard about it is getting past the fear of rejection that most people have. You know, when they talk about Christianity, they don't want to talk about it because they're afraid that they're going to be rejected. Especially when you talk truth to people. That, hey, there's power. There's power in our lives today. We can operate 9 manifestations and bring to pass the impossible. We can see signs, miracles, and wonders just like Jesus Christ did, just like the disciples did, just like the apostles in the first century church. Just like everyone who's ever believed God, written of in the Bible, saw the power of God, we can see the power of God too. There's no question as to the will of God. We've got a whole book explaining it to us. And people question, well, you know, if it's the will of God, I'll get over this cold. Or if it's the will of God, I won't die from this brain tumor. No, no, it is the will of God that you get over your cold. It is the will of God that you be healed of the brain tumor. It is the will of God that even if it takes a miracle to do it, he'll do it. So, there remains then the decision in each of our lives. You know, are we going to do it? Are we going to rise up and have that attitude of, you know, where I am, I'm a light. I want to light up the place. And the way I light it up is by being confident in God's promises and not being reluctant to open my mouth. Not waiting to see if someone else will come along tomorrow to take care of this need in this individual. You know, but to do it now. Do it. While it's day, while it is day, rise up and do the works that Jesus Christ says you can do. And don't doubt in your heart. And don't be afraid. You know, it says in Isaiah that the encouragement of God was, don't be afraid of their fear. You know, the world has all sorts of fears out there, but don't be afraid of their fear. Nor be afraid. You just walk confidently in God's promises, knowing that God is able to back up everything that He's promised to you. You know, it's not weird to be a believer. It's fun. It's fun to see God work. It's fun to see God back up the words that you speak when you speak them with faith, with believing, with confidence. You know, that you look at a mountain and you say, get out of my way. You look at a disease and you say, be gone. You look at a devil spirit and you tell it to get out. You don't talk to it, have a conversation with it. You don't ask him his name. Who cares what his name is? Get rid of him. And the same with anything that you're confronted with. Because like the Word of God says, as He is, so are we in the world. And He is a light, and He had that attitude, we have the same. So be blessed, you know, and be confident. Knowing that, you know, now is the daytime. While it's day, let's see God do some great things. Let's see God back up His promises for us. All we need to do is believe it and walk. Speak like you believe it. Behave like you believe this stuff. Don't act like everybody in the world who doesn't know God or is wondering what He's willing to do. Behave like a believer. Walk like Jesus Christ did. He's our big brother. He showed us what it's all about. So let's walk. You know, let's see some great stuff. While it's day. All right. Father, thanks for your blessings. Thanks for the way you continue to back up your word for us. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. And Father, for the thrill that we have in our hearts as we read these things and anticipate them being alive in our lives as well. Thank you, Father, for continuing to bless us, continuing to open the eyes of our understanding, and continuing, Father, to answer our prayers the way you always do. Thank you, Father, that we can be those lights that you've called us to be as we hold forth the truth of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right? Amen. Amen. Really?